Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Day 362, nearly a year ago. Unbelievable. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of the program. We won't play it again. Merrick Garland didn't really say much as it relates to the search at Mar-a-Lago from earlier this week. He just gave us a bunch of platitudes and got all worked up when talking about the FBI, which, by the way, for the rank and file good people in the FBI, thank you for the job you do. For the people at the top of the FBI, you know, those of you that were responsible for lying to FISA courts, those of you that used a dirty, unverifiable Russian dossier, those of you that never held each other accountable, Chris Wray, who never cleaned it up, A.G. Garland, who never cleaned it up and is now running, you know, basically Joe Biden's reelection campaign by trying to hurt Donald Trump, his chief opponent. You know, those of you in the FBI that do not practice equal justice and application of our laws, because if you did, that Hunter laptop that you've had for 2 years, nearly 2 years, October 11th, it'll be 2 years. And we know that there is evidence of crimes on the laptop. You're going to invade, you know, the home that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are in South Carolina this weekend. I tend to doubt it. Yes, the good people of the FBI, thank you. For the majority of law enforcement that work hard, risk their lives for us, thank you. For those of you that are corrupt, all the bad apples, you need to be held accountable. Chris Wray has not held you accountable. Comey was part of it when he was the FBI director, and we've had nobody clean it up. We've now politicized and the Justice Department to the point where now you have the AG is doing the bidding of all things democratic socialist. The problem they now have is they have been exposed, number one. They have failed on every turn, number two. And number three, they don't hold their own accountable. And they've lost the trust of the American people in the process. That is a big deal. That is a big problem. Anyway, joining us now, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody. Madam Attorney General, good to have you on. Appreciate you being with us.
Of course. Great to be with you, Sean.
Let's get your initial thoughts. Merrick Garland's statement from earlier today. He didn't really say much, except he gave us a lot of platitudes that we believe in equal justice under the law and application of our laws. I don't really believe that, because I believe if he believed it, he would be looking into the abuse of people, high-ranking people in the FBI that lied to FISA courts, that used Hillary Clinton's dirty Russian dossier. I believe he would look into all those things, wouldn't you think?
Well, you know, I think you are right. There was not much in that less than five-minute speech that he revealed. In fact, he repeated everything that's been reported over the last few days in terms of the search and the search warrant. He was disingenuous in announcing generally that we, meaning he and the Department of Justice, will file a motion to unseal the warrant and the property receipt that they left, which is required. But understand, that will reveal nothing. It may reveal the charges that they were trying to find evidence for, maybe on the warrant, but the affidavit will not be included. None of the details, which is what everybody is hoping to see. So in trying to show he's trying to be transparent, he really revealed they are not going to be transparent at all. And, you know, I love that you started with this whole statement by him that he is going to stand by law enforcement and he will not remain silent. Well, he couldn't remain silent. He's the head of an executive branch. You have to come out and say that you're going to apply the law evenly. Like, you have no choice. But what was revealed in that is he understands that these are extraordinary circumstances. He said it. He said that's why he's filing the motion, which, you know, according to most former attorneys general.
By the way, you're saying so all the property search, the property receipt and the search warrant when unsealed will tell us very little, correct?
You know, when the agents come in, and remember, I'm a former federal prosecutor, I'm a judge myself. When they come in and they raid, and it is a raid, they come in with surprise and take evidence, they will have to leave a property receipt. And that's for the person that owns the residence or the business owner, but it's usually generalized because, you know, let's say they take seven boxes of documents. They can't go through them all on location. So it's usually, you know, seven boxes of documents. Unless they've gone through them in some respect and they're and going to release what they've reviewed in the last 3 days, the property receipt isn't going to share much. So without that affidavit, we're really not going to know any more than we knew before he just got in front of the podium.
Why would the FBI have asked that Mar-a-Lago turn off their security cameras? And now that they know they did not turn them off, why would they be demanding the tapes, as I have been told by numerous sources that have direct knowledge of this?
It's hard to understand unless we have the affidavit that's explaining what they're seeking, until we see, when it is unsealed, the warrant, which may list the charges of which they thought they might find evidence, it's hard to see why they're asking for certain things. I mean, again, this is unprecedented. We don't know, you know, what these negotiations entailed prior to the raid on Mar-a-Lago. But they do understand that these are extraordinarily unique circumstances. Attorney General Garland said he approved this himself. That's generally done in extraordinary circumstances. And I would submit to you, once it's confirmed there's a criminal investigation that's warranted and there's a conflict of interest or other extraordinary circumstances, that AG that's appointed by the president and is now investigating a potential opponent and former president should step aside and let someone neutral handle this. I think that this is, we are in an uncharted waters, and I think it's time for someone independent and free from executive influence to step in.
Well, if it's going to be him that appoints such a person, I wouldn't have any faith in the person that he appointed. Look, I've said from the beginning that I don't believe this has anything to do with the Presidential Records Act or the National Archives at all. Now, we have evidence on the National Archives website that cites that the Trump team in Mar-a-Lago have been very cooperative. They last were down there in June. At the time, they asked that a certain lock be put on a certain room where boxes were, and that was complied with. And they were told that they can come back anytime they want and take and look at anything that they want. So it seems to me that this would be a pretext that they use this as a means of just getting in there. My buddy Levin called into my TV show the other night, and he talked about what's known as the Plainview Doctrine. And in other words, that this would be a pretext. And the real reason is they'll go in, they'll grab everything as much as they can take in 9 hours. And what they're really looking for is something that might implicate the president regarding January 6th or taxes, whatever it is. In other words, a sleazy backdoor method to investigate all things Trump, not anything to do with the National Archives. Do you agree with that?
And that is what is causing so much concern. I mean, the fact that this is so closely in time related to what seizing other congressmen's phones and other acts by the FBI and the Department of Justice, I think that is what is raising everyone's concern. You know, just take Venezuela, for example. I mean, Maduro, you know, went after all of his political opponents. I mean, in terms of Guaido and others, I mean, this is exactly why so many in Florida are so concerned. And I think ultimately, if that comes out, I think that will forever damage the credibility of that institution. And, you know, it's very convenient now for the Department of Justice, the head, Attorney General Garland, to come out and say, I will not remain silent. I stand by the men and women of law enforcement. Okay, well, you're doing that today because you're being accused of acting with political bias. So now today that it's convenient for you, you're going to come out and say, I stand by law enforcement. But ask the men and women of law enforcement all over this nation if they truly believe this administration and this AG stand by them. I mean, he came out and said, I won't remain silent. Well, he couldn't. Either the president or AG Garland had to come out and make some sort of statement to answer to the outcry that this in some way could be manipulation of the justice system or weaponization.
You know, let me ask this, because, you know, here I'm somebody that has revered law enforcement my whole life. I don't know what you know about my personal life, but my mom was a prison guard and she worked 16-hour shifts her whole life. My dad was a family court probation officer. I had, you know, extended family members, friends all over the place that were on the NYPD, New York City police officers, people that were Nassau County police officers, Suffolk County police officers. And there were two members of my family that made it to the FBI. One wrote me a very heartfelt message last night when I said, you know, it breaks my heart, but because of the actions and the lack of accountability for those people, for example, that protected Hillary Clinton when she deleted 33,000 emails, when they admitted, even Comey admitted that crimes were committed, but no prosecutor would prosecute these crimes, and then used her dirty Russian dossier that she paid for, and on top of a document that says verified, four separate warrants, four separate times, top officials of the FBI lied to FISA court judges to get a warrant to spy on Donald Trump and Carter Page. Now, in my view, they have earned the distrust, especially with any matter involving Donald Trump. And the worst part of this, Madam Attorney General, is none of the people that did that were held accountable. None of them.
Well, and that was, you know, I watched the statement and he seemed so indignant. He couldn't believe that anyone would attack the FBI. I agree with you, Sean. I am the wife of a career law enforcement officer. The nobility and integrity of that profession is incredibly important to our family. My husband is currently a federal agent, and it breaks my heart that in any way that the fairness and the independence and the good intentions of an agency like that would be in doubt. But you can't.
Do you know that everybody I know that works in the FBI, past and present, that they all agree that the upper echelon, seventh floor, if you will, has gone rogue and gone corrupt, and they've been politicized, and they're criminalizing our justice system, and they're disgusted by it?
And it's astonishing to me that Attorney General Garland would not recognize that and make a statement in that regard today to address specifically those concerns, because you cannot disregard and erase what has happened over the last few years. It is what it is. We stand where we stand.
And why hasn't Director Ray stepped in and cleaned up the mess that he inherited and restored the integrity that this once great organization had?
I think that is the should be the goal and mission of anyone who heads an executive branch, which is why, as you know, since the day of the search warrant, I came out immediately and said, this is not business as usual. I can tell you, I was a former federal prosecutor. I mean, where we stand now, you have to have the president come out strongly, the AG come out strongly. This is not business as usual. And, you know, the fact that they made a statement today, I think, is reflective of the last 3 days.
It was a half a statement. He said nothing of substance. I wish I did have more time for you, and you did come out early, and we really appreciate it. You're doing a great job down in Florida, the free state of Florida, by the way. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate your time and perspective.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right. After the news at the bottom of the hour, Peter Navarro will tell the story about him being shackled, strip searched, handcuffed in an airport when they could have just for a misdemeanor charge. This is not justice in America the way it's usually practiced. This is intimidation, harassment, and politicizing the justice system. When we come back, Peter Navarro is going to check in with us. I mean, think of what they did to this poor guy. All right, so he doesn't want to. He could have easily testified before the January 6th committee and gone in, pled the fifth, walked out, no problems, no legal issues at all whatsoever. He didn't do it because, and I asked him last night why. He'll explain today. Because on principle, he believes in that executive privilege is the president's to waive, not his. And the president didn't waive it in his case. So he decided not to take the easy way out. Steve Bannon did the same thing, although Steve wasn't a current member of the administration, but he did it on principle. I know that. And both of them knew that they could risk going to jail, but they did it anyway. But then why did they have to embarrass him for a misdemeanor instead of calling his lawyer and saying, report at this time at this place, or we will execute a warrant for your client's arrest? Why'd they have to put leg shackles on him in an airport and handcuffs on him in an airport? Why did they have to strip search him? Are you kidding me? Over a misdemeanor? You can't even make this up and put him in the same jail cell and brag that John Hinckley, who tried to kill Reagan, was it. This isn't a game. This is our country we're talking about.
Inspired solutions for America. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, our number. You want to be a part of the program. Amazing that, you know, Christopher Wray won't answer. It's such a sad state of affairs that Christopher Wray had every opportunity to restore this great institution, the FBI, to its once-held greatness. But after, let's see, the dirty dossier, lying to FISA court judges, holding nobody accountable, putting in place no reforms whatsoever. He's done nothing to clean up the bad actors within the FBI. How can anyone trust them? And by the way, no, the lawyers can only see a warrant from 10 feet away at Mar-a-Lago. And they can't watch us as we're collecting information. And, oh, shut off your security cameras, which they didn't shut off. And now the FBI desperately wants them. Anyway, here's Ray answering that question.
Former President Trump is raising the prospect of agents finding evidence in the FBI search of his residence in Mar-a-Lago, saying his lawyers and agents aren't allowed to observe this search. Can you address that, particularly as many of Trump's supporters online vision of so-called call to arms and threats against your agents in
the search? Well, as I'm sure you can appreciate, that's not something that I can talk about, so I'd refer you to the department. As to the issue of threats, I will say that I'm always concerned about violence and threats of violence against law enforcement.
Where was he in the summer of 2020? We were outspoken. Anybody threatens any law enforcement at any place, anytime, anywhere, we speak out loudly. Where was he when Chuck Schumer was on the steps of the Supreme Court? Where was he when, 2,000 cops were injured in the summer of 2020, pelted with bricks, rocks, bottles, Molotov cocktails, frozen water bottles? Where was he then? Why didn't he go after those people that used Hillary Clinton's dirty misinformation Russian dossier to lie to a FISA court not once but four times over the course of a year, and not a single person was held accountable? It's unbelievable. Listen to CNN talk to Trump supporters about the raid. Listen to this.
They don't want the truth. That's the bottom line. They don't want the truth.
You don't think that's why they came here to Mar-a-Lago to try and find out the truth and recover the archives?
No, they are scared to death of Donald Trump.
It's just a show. This is like maybe impeachment number four here for Trump. That's all it is. That's what I think. I mean, they didn't get it the first time, the Russian thing. They didn't get it the second time, right, with Ukraine. They didn't get it the third time with January 6th. I think they know they're running out of time there. They raid a home, and CNN cameras are there, and some of his past people. They know what's going on. It's all for a show to make Trump so he cannot run again.
You don't think that there was a real reason to come
here?
No, it's just a show.
I know there's no real reason. I know it in my heart. I know it in my spirit. He has never lied about anything.
That's fake news, CNN. Here's the problems we have is, and this should scare every American, even if you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat, Republican, conservative, it shouldn't matter. If we don't have equal justice and equal application of our laws, we don't have a country. We don't have a constitution, because every law is predicated on constitutional rights. And for example, why hasn't there been a raid on Hunter Biden's home? Christopher Reyes had Hunter Biden's laptop, and we know there's evidence of crimes on that laptop, and evidence that Joe Biden himself lied to the American people about his real knowledge of Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings with countries like Ukraine and Russia and China. It might explain some of his behavior with these countries. Then in the case of Peter Navarro could have very easily walked into the January 6th committee and said, pled the fifth. He decided not to. He's going to explain why in a minute. And then instead of just calling his lawyer and saying, please have Mr. Navarro report 8 a.m. tomorrow morning at this location. And no, they have to make a big show of it to show how big and tough and how they can intimidate people and harass people and put leg shackles on them, strip search them, and put handcuffs on them. Again, it's a misdemeanor, contempt of Congress. That's all it was. Anyway, Peter Navarro joins us now. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
John, my friend, always good to talk to you, but these are troubled times. You were really hitting on some really important things here, and I think that my case deserves probably a little more attention out there in the broad press, given what's happened at Mar-a-Lago, because there's some parallels here, Sean, and we didn't have a chance to get into it last night, but let me re-break some news. I don't know if you're aware of this, but besides this criminal charge that the Justice Department has levied against me, they also filed a civil suit several weeks later. And what's interesting about that is it's all about the National Archives as the tip of their spear. And just as there was no reason for the gendarmes to raid Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago treasure because he was cooperating, I was cooperating with the National Archives and Justice as well. And we were in the process of a negotiation. And instead of going forward with that, they went and they did the civil suit. Now, here's what's interesting, Sean. My lawyer sent them back a letter before they formally filed the civil suit and raised some significant issues about whether the National Archives was trying to use this civil suit and process as a way to get more evidence against me or Donald Trump. And it's the same thing that may be going on with the Mar-a-Lago raid. They go in with this Presidential Records Act thing. They get their nose under the tent there, and then they can grab anything they want. So this is
So you believe it like I do. I believe it was all a pretext because as of June, the National Archives people had been to Mar-a-Lago and they asked Donald Trump to put a padlock on this one room where there's some documents were, and he complied and said you can have access to all this anytime you want.
And my point is that the parallel here, that the Navarro case is very similar to the Trump case. It's like they took the step on the unnecessary step of piling on a civil suit on top of my criminal charge as a way of getting what my lawyers say in the letter to them is a possible backdoor discovery, essentially, to build a criminal charges against me or the president or both. And, Sean, I've said from the outset, long before I ever got a subpoena, the whole mission of that select committee, and I use that term lightly, this is simply build a criminal case against Trump so he can't run in 2024. I said that from the outset. What should be shocking to the American public, but doesn't surprise me in the slightest, of how it appears increasingly like there seems to be some kind of coordination, not just between the Justice Department and the Select Committee, but also this odd agency of the National Archives using this Presidential Records Act, which is an artifact of the Watergate era, as a way to basically get more evidence to build their criminal case. And he said,
but there are similarities, though, Peter. Why didn't they? Hillary Clinton had 33,000 emails she deleted, and we know that those emails were compromised and that those servers were hacked. Barack Obama had 30,000 documents that should have been in the National Archives, according to the New York Post.
It's the two-tier system of justice that you've correctly and beautifully identified, right? It's the point is that they've weaponized the investigatory powers of Congress in a way which violates separation of powers, clearly. And they've weaponized the Presidential Records Act, apparently, as a way of coordinating and building the case. And, of course, it's like they don't use it against Hunter Biden or Hillary Clinton or anybody.
Let me get specifically, because I don't want all our time to be lost. I think it's very important that people understand something about you. Is you could have easily walked into the January 6th committee. You could have pled the fifth, not answer a single question. You could have walked out and your obligations would have been over. You would not have had, this moment at the airport. Tell us about the day they arrested you, why they did it at the airport, why they just didn't ask you to report, and did they put you in leg shackles? Did they put you in handcuffs? Did they really strip search you?
Yeah, let me walk you through that. The predicate here is, Sean, I swore an oath, literally, to the President of the United States in this country to uphold the Constitution and my duty to the country, right? And I had a duty when President Trump invoked executive privilege. It was not my privilege to waive, and I had the duty to do what I have done. And I'm caught constitutionally between two conflicting branches of government. And look, as I said to you last night, men and women in this country have died defending the Constitution. The least I could do is face a two-year prison term for doing the same thing.
Quick break. More with Peter Navarro on the other side. We'll look at how is this polling around the country as we now are 100 days out of the midterms. 800-941-SEAN is our number if you want to be a part of the program. Look, more intimidation tactics, and it's getting scarier by the day. You could have taken an easy way out. You didn't. When they did this to you, I want to go, did they really strip search you over something as small as this, over a misdemeanor?
Everybody out there in Hannity land needs to know I live 50 yards away from the FBI, and they could have easily done a voluntary surrender, peaceful voluntary surrender, which is the norm. They tracked me with a squadron of armed FBI agents out to the airport. They effectively trapped me in the jetway, and five armed FBI agents grabbed me. They did not allow me to contact anyone for legal advice, which is a due process violation. They screwed up the Miranda rights thing. They took me down to the tarmac, put me in handcuffs, drove me back home, minus 50 yards, back to the FBI, And about 20 minutes after that, I was in the basement of the court where the FBI agent stood with the sheriffs in this basement. And I was just like, okay, they strip searched me, Sean, first, and then they put me in leg irons. And they walked me down to the same cell that John Hinckley was sat in and when he shot Ronald Reagan. They were somehow proud to say that, explain that to me. And they left me there for 3 hours. And meanwhile, they leaked the whole damn thing to the press. So that it was bread and circus, political circus, public shame for Navarro. I'm not ashamed at all of this. They're jackals. And 3 minutes, Sean, 3 minutes before I was supposed to appear before the judge, they stick me with a public defender, very nice person, but they don't know anything about constitutional law. Stick me with a public defender and under threat of, well, if you don't take it, you probably have to spend the night, right? That was just the beginning. And, you know, it's like, Sean, I am the only person ever, only senior White House advisor ever in the history of this republic to be treated in this manner. And Sean, you know, I served honorably for 4 years, never in a scandal. I helped the president save millions of lives during the pandemic and created hundreds of thousands of manufacturing jobs. And this is what I got, and the crack baby Hunter Biden roams free to sell us out, the Chinese, the same damn Chinese, Sean, that I sat across the table and fought tooth and nail on behalf of this country. So this is just so over the top wrong, and we need answers, and we're going to get answers. I filed a motion to compel discovery in my case, and every journalist out there should read that thing, because there's as many unanswered questions in there as answered questions, and we're going to get to the bottom of this with the help of folks like you, Sean, who
we're
going to
keep
these issues to light.
We're going to keep this story in the public arena. Update us regularly. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. That is not the norm. And I worry about where this country is headed. These tactics have got to stop. Criminal, you know, we're now criminalizing political differences. Peter Navarro will stay on top of this. I promise. You're welcome on these airwaves anytime you want. Thank you for an update and thanks for being with us.
One quick thing, Sean.
Yeah.
Taking Back Trump's America, I've got over $400,000 paid out in legal fees already. That book is my legal defense fund, as well as the way to get Nancy Pelosi out of the House and Trump back in the White House. Taking Back Trump's America on Amazon. If you folks can help me out on that, I would appreciate it.
We'll put a link on Hannity.com as well. And people don't realize it is hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in legal fees for people that find themselves in the position that Peter is in. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate you being with us. Quick break, right back.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.